We had a reading earlier in the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 17. It is from verse 17 that we will take the subject of our study this morning. The text on the chart are from the New King James Version. If you'd like to read along from the chart or read along from the Bible that you brought with you, will be fine as well. In our text in James 4 and in verse 17, it mentions sin. Those who know to do good but do not do it, to him it is sin. But sin involves more than just one type of action. Sin involves, of course, the, you might say, direct rejection of God's will in one's life. The direct refusal to obey the commands of God. In the book of 1 John, in verse 4 of chapter 3, John said, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is disobedience to the law of God. It's a direct rejection of God's law to rule and govern one's conduct or behavior. Sin is lawlessness. It's acting without law. It's a disregard for God's law. That's what sin is. You disregard God's law when God says you shall not do this, but yet you do it. It's a direct contradiction to God's law. Disregard to God's law. But we also learn in 1 John 5 and verse 17 that all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. What is unrighteousness? Well, the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 172, speaking to God, "All your commandments are righteousness." If the commandments of God are righteousness, and then all unrighteousness is sin, it's a failure to keep the commands of God. That's unrighteousness. It's sin. A failure to keep the commands of God is unrighteousness. It is sin. However, sin is also failing to do what we know we ought to do. That is, God expects us to do some things which we leave undone. And we know that we ought to do them, but through neglect, we simply do not do them. That's what's under consideration in James 4 and verse 17. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. People have rightly called this sins of omission. Sins of omission are knowing that you ought to do good, knowing that God expects certain things of you, but what do? You simply fail to do it. Earlier, in the two verses we saw earlier, those were sins, what we would call sins of commission. That is, direct violations of God's law. Thou shalt not, and we violate it, we commit lawlessness. We violate it, we commit unrighteousness. But sometimes God expects us to do things, and through neglect, or for some reason, we simply do not do it. That is sin. Sin. Even though this statement from James was spoken in connection with man boasting of his own self-sufficiency, on this occasion, in James 4, verse 13 through verse 17, there were those who were involved in business practices that went about planning their activities for the time to come in their future, but leaving God out of their plans. They evidently did not recognize and realize that the providence of God was important. The working of God was important in their life. They saw themselves as self-sufficient and not in need of keeping God's will in their plans. They knew that they ought to do that, but they simply failed to do it. That was sin. We're guilty of the same thing today. We go about planning our life. We plan what we're going to do next week and next month and next year. We know that God works providentially in our life, but what do? We feel so self-sufficient in and of ourselves to make our plans and to direct our life that we simply forget to keep the will of God in our life. God expects us to remember His will as we plan our life. If we do not, it is sin. It's a sin of omission. He expects us to do it, but we simply do not do it. We know we ought to do it, but we do not do it. Knowing to do good, though, and refusing or neglecting to do it makes it worse in some way, and not knowing that you ought to do it at all. Since you know you ought to do it, but yet you do not do it, believe it or not, since you know you're going to do it, come the day of judgment, you're going to be punished with a greater punishment. That's what Jesus spoke in the parable regarding the wise and the unwise servants in Luke 12 and verse 47. And that servant, note this, who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things, deserving his stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. If you know to do God's will, but you simply neglect to do it, God's going to hold you accountable for it. You're given more responsibility to carry out His will in your life, since you know you ought to do it. But simply being ignorant of what is good that you ought to do, though, is no excuse. Know that. But he who did not know, it wasn't an excuse not to know. Everybody ought to know the will of God today. The Word of God has gone out around the world. There's probably not a nation on this earth that does not have Bibles in it right now. Even the communist nations, yes. And so everybody wants to know the will of God. They can find out what the will of God is if they're seeking after it. But simply an ignorance of knowing what one ought to do, knowing the good that he ought to do, is no excuse. John 7 and verse 17. If anyone wants to do his will, note that Jesus said, if anyone wants to do his will, if he desires to do God's will, if he has a will or intent to do the will of God, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. If you have a desire and an intent and a will to know the will of God, you can know the will of God. And so the ignorance of knowing to do good is no excuse. No excuse at all. Doing good is a matter of doing what is commanded of God. It is a matter of doing that which is required of God. In Matthew 19 and verse 16, now behold, one came to Jesus and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? To do good is to do that which is noble, upright, virtuous, fitting, right, and proper in the sight of God. And the only way we know to do good is found in the Word. Just because we think it's good doesn't mean it's good. If it's not a good deed or act that the Word of God authorizes us to engage in, it's not good. There are many religious people who say they're doing good, but God does not authorize the good they're doing. It's only good if God's Word authorizes. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Where do we find out what good thing we must do? In the Word. In the Word. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable, beneficial, and advantageous for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, every good act, every good deed. Even though a thing might seem to be good, just because it seems to be good to us doesn't make it good. It has to be authorized by the Word of God. Otherwise, it's lawlessness. It's contrary to the law of God. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity, the King James Version says. You who practice lawlessness, that is, you have a disregard for my law. These things they thought were good. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If the good that you know you ought to do is not found in the Word of God, it's lawlessness. It's iniquity. It's sin. Sins of omission, which seem to have plagued those to whom James wrote, are often thought of, I guess, even by Christians today, as evidently they were in James's time, as kind of second-rate sins. You know, if a Christian steals and lies and commits adultery, that's something which must be dealt with, according to the thinking of many. You know, if you commit adultery, it needs to be dealt with. If you're a thief, it needs to be dealt with. If you're a liar, it needs to be dealt with. Because God said, you shall not. But if a Christian neglects to pray, if he fails to study, if he fails toward his responsibility in seeking and saving the lost, nothing seems to be especially thought to be amiss in their life. Why is that? Is it because we think that violating you shall not commands is worse than leaving undone the things that God expects us to do, the thou shalt commands? I believe it to be so. Many people live respectable and upright lives. They don't commit adultery. They don't steal. They don't lie. But yet they commit many sins of omission. They simply leave things undone that they know they should do. Sins of omission. Sins of omission are often illustrated in the New Testament. Not only just in the New Testament, but throughout the Bible as well. As a matter of fact, you might say sins of omission are mentioned as many times as sins of commission. I just want to run through some examples and illustrations for you this morning. I have a lot of reading, but bear with me. I want you to see that all of these examples that I'm going to give well illustrate people neglecting or leaving things undone that they know they ought to do, that God expects them to do, but yet through neglect or for some reason they simply do not do them. The first is the illustration of the rich young ruler. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he said to them, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Note that, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all of these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, that is, if you want to be complete spiritually, that is, if you want to attain to eternal life, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Look at how little he omitted. All of these things he had done. But because he had great possessions and unwilling to give them up, he couldn't do what the Lord told him to do, what the Lord expected of him to do. Sins of omission. Another illustration is the foolish virgins in Matthew 25 and verse 1 and following. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, know this, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins who arose trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Note in verse 10, those who were ready went in. God expects us to be ready for His coming. When the Lord comes, are you going to be ready? Or is this just something He expects us to be ready? He expects us to keep ourselves ready, keep ourselves prepared. But is it something we simply neglect to do? Sin of omission. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. All that was wrong was just a simple little bit left undone. They simply wasn't prepared. They wasn't ready. They had neglected. They knew they ought to be ready. As a matter of fact, they were waiting, but they were not ready. We see another illustration of this in the one talent man. Remember, Matthew 25 and verse 26. Remember, the master of the house had given 5 talents, he'd given 2 talents, and he gave 1 talent. What did the one talent man do? He went and hid his talent in the earth. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and in my coming I would have received back my own with interest. No, the Lord didn't say, you wicked and lazy servant, you're an embezzler, you're a thief. He didn't say that. He simply did nothing. Brother Pike often reminds us this. If you want to go to hell, just do nothing. That's what this individual did. Sins of omission. Just do nothing. Another illustration is in the judgment scene that Jesus paints in Matthew chapter 25 when he separates those on his right hand and those on his left hand. Matthew 25 and in verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. God expects these things of us, but we simply neglect to do them. We know we ought to do good, and when we do not do that which is good, we sin. Amen. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. He didn't say, you're an adulterer, you're a thief, you're a liar. They simply neglected to do those things that God expected them to do as children of God. God expects us to read the Scriptures. He's given us the written Word for that very reason. He expects us to study. He expects us to grow spiritually, mature, develop ourselves. Are we doing that? Are we neglecting to do that? Are we omitting in our lives as children of God that which we know we ought to be doing and we're not doing it? It's sin. It's sin. When was the last time you reached out to someone in a conversation at the department store or somewhere and made some kind of spiritual statement to them? To try to get them, perhaps, to study the Word of God with you. That is to be evangelistic. To seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus expects us to do. Carry out His mission. That was the purpose for which He came. And we need to be busy carrying it out. But if we do not do that, which we know we ought to do, it is sin. Another example is the priest and the Levite in Luke 10 and verse 25 and following. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly, do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. What do you suppose God expected of that priest? Sin of omission. God expected that priest, that religiously minded individual, to help his neighbor. But he omitted doing that. He neglected doing that. He passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, another religiously minded man, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. What do you think God expected that Levite to do? To help his neighbor in need. But a certain Samaritan, one in the first century whom you would not expect to help anyone, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. When we fail to extend mercy to others, that's what God expects us to do. But when we fail to do it, we sin. When we know we ought to do good and fail to do it, we sin. Now we recognize and realize we can't extend mercy to everyone whom we see is in need and in need of mercy. God knows that. But when we can, and God knows we can, we sin. And God knows it. Another illustration of this thing regarding sins of omission is in the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13 in verse 6 and following. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Now the fig tree, we're all familiar with this. The fig tree represents the nation of Israel, represents the Jews during this particular period of time. And why does Jesus curse the fig tree that represents Israel? Because they were fruitless. They needed to bear fruit. To bear fruit as God's people is to produce the kind of result in your life that God expects. Fruit is produce. When fruit is produced in your life, you're caring about doing the works, deeds, actions, and behavior that God expects you to carry out. You're producing a desired result that God expects of you. But Israel had not produced the desired result that God expected of His people. They were fruitless. He doesn't condemn them from being adulterers. He does in other places. He doesn't condemn them from being liars and thieves and other things of that sort, because they had violated thou shalt not commands. But they simply did not produce the fruit in their life that He expected them to produce. So He spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, but he found none. He said to the keeper of his vineyard, Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground for 3 years? the length of the ministry of Jesus while he was on earth. But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. If it produces the desired result I want, great. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." And what did he do to the nation of Israel? In 70 A.D. by the Roman soldiers, he cut it down. He destroyed the nation because they failed to produce fruit. It was just a matter of what they did not do. What they knew they ought to do, but they simply did not do it.
Amen.
We see this illustrated as well in the builders mentioned in Matthew 7 and verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of man and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Why? Because he was a doer of God's word. That is, he did what God expected him to do. Again, for our application, he was a Bible reader. He was a Bible student. He was growing and maturing and developing himself to be of use and benefit in the Lord's church. "But everyone who hears these things, man, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Does not do them. For what reason? Does he commit sins of commission? Thou shall not, perhaps, but he also commits sins of omission. He knows there's some things that the Word of God calls upon him to do, but he simply does not do them. "The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Sins of omission seem to be prevalent, or more so than sins of commission. Reframing from "you shall not" commands is of great importance. If God says you shall not do this, we ought not to do it. But when God says we ought to do something, we ought to do it, regardless of what it is.
Amen.
Sins of omission seem to be a great problem with many of those who are alien sinners, those who've never confessed their faith in Christ, been baptized for the remission of sins. They simply omit or neglect doing what God requires of them. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know you ought to keep the commandments of God, but you simply do not do it. When Jesus said, "Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, for in order to have a remission of sins," Acts 2:38, and you do not do it, you're not keeping the commands of God. You know you ought to do it, but you simply do not do it. A sin of omission. So you might be living a respectable life, even as much as some Christians are, but you're still in your sins if you fail to keep the commandments of God.
Amen.
My friends, I would desire that you refrain from doing that which is forbidden, for that will end in your torment. All unrighteousness is sin. Remember, the psalmist said, Psalm 119, 172, "All your commandments are righteousness." Keep the commandments of God. If you do not, it is sin. But I would also desire that you do what is commanded. When you know what is right, what is fitting, what is proper, what is virtuous in the sight of God, that which is good, but yet you do not do it, it is sin. I want you to do this as well as keep the thou not shall not commands. By doing that, you'll be blessed indeed. Revelation 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments." Highly favored are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. If you're here this morning, do not commit sins of omission this morning. You know what God expects of you. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Him before this audience. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what God expects you to do to become a child of God. But don't commit sins of omission as well if you're already a child of God, having been baptized into Christ in the past. You can commit sins of omission this morning if you have sin in your life. Refuse to confess that sin and repent of that sin. That's what God expects of you as a child of God. But when you do that, you commit sins of omission. The lesson is yours. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.